center of the West, and I'll be your host, Pamela Wilson. Memorial Weekend kicked off the summer season, and I took a couple of day trips to explore some hidden treasures that you may want to discover this summer. My first stop was to an outdoor theater tucked away in Topanga Canyon, set back in a rustic environment in a natural setting of tall oaks, singing birds, and a nearby creek. I discovered the Theatricum Botanicum that was established by a talented man and actor over 30 years ago. Will Geer left a legacy for the community to keep the art of theater alive, where for many years, visitors have enjoyed outdoor performances under the stars, led by actors who have a passion for the art of live theater. We'll hear the story and background of Will Geer, whose talent and drive inspired his family and friends to carry on the tradition where people of all ages can learn the art of classical theater in an ambiance created by his love of nature. I then took a trip through the canyons off Canaan Road and stopped at a wine tasting destination called the Cornell Winery, where I discovered a historic community set back in a country setting that takes you back to the early 1800s. Here you'll discover wines carefully selected by a man whose vision was to create community and a unique experience, surrounded by art and handmade gifts and products by locals. After years of traveling through Europe exploring wines and working for a world-known winery, he opened his doors that has become a destination for wine tasting and is also a space for community gatherings. He created an art series called Learn, Love, and Live Life, where you can attend a lecture, an art opening and exhibit, or listen to live musical performances outdoors. Stay with me to hear the story of these treasures you may want to explore this summer, and I'll be your host, Pamela Wilson. I'm at the Will Geer Theater today, and joining me to talk about the story and background of the theater is Ellen Geer, who's the daughter of Will Geer, who started this theater many years ago and left the spirit alive here, and she's continuing to keep it alive by introducing many new young people to the art. And we want to hear more about what goes on here so that the community can be part of it and come and experience what they've been doing for so many years. So joining me is Ellen. Thank you, Ellen, for joining me to talk about this beautiful treasure in Topanga Canyon.
Oh, no, it's thank you for coming out to our... See, you can hear the birds. We've been here in the 50s. Would you like this story?
I want to hear about the story of how it got started, you know, by your father.
All right. This was in the 50s. There was a period of... It was a bad period in our country. It was the blacklist when House Un-American Activities Committee squelched a lot of people. Most of the people were trying to find a way within a very tight society how to have a caring society, how to make it more equal. And that at that time, it was communism. And what happened is he lost all his work because they decided he was one, although I can guarantee you he would never go to a meeting. He never went to meetings in his life. He just would help unions. He would go sing songs. He would do Walt Whitman, Mark Twain, some of the great Americana artists, you know, and recite and put on benefits for them. And so that's how he got pointed at. So he was doing beautifully in films. He was second lead, you know, with Jimmy Stewart and Donald mm-hmm. O'Connor. And then we got the little pink slip, and the whole family got into a car with a trailer in the back with this Dove peace dove on the side of it, and we thought we'd make a journey of it. That's the way my parents were. We were kids. We were like 9 and 10, and there was even the baby Tad. And so we took a trip across the country to see America. And then he was blacklisted, and then we came back, and we had to sell our, I thought it was a fancy home in Santa Monica, because suddenly there was no work. Okay. There was nothing. There was nothing. And so my mother, who was very smart, found this place up here, Topanga Canyon. She bought it with a wing and a prayer. We all moved up here, and Pop did his other second great joy in life, although I think it's just as strong as acting was to him, which is gardening. He was a horticulturist with a degree from out of Chicago.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so we had the Gear Gardens, and then he opened up a nice flat area, and all the blacklisted actors who had no work would come up, and we put on folk says, you know, Pete Seeger, Juan Hernandez, Ann Revere, so many wonderful actors who could at least express themselves during this time of suppression. Mm-hmm. 10 years later, he got work again, and it was Otto Preminger decided he'd going to do something about it. And he was an advising consent, which was rather funny because it was a political, and he was a senator. So it was such a ride, and you learn how fads come in and out of how people feel each other and feel about each other, you know. Mm-hmm. So after that, he did Broadway for a while, and then he came out here because he was asked to be Grandpa Walter.
Oh, right.
In the Walters.
Right.
And he had a long, nice time with that and TV, yeah. And it was wonderful. It was a wonderful ending for his career.
Okay.
And during that time is when this theater was created again.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a healing place for all of us. During that period, we had all grown up. We all went out and learned how to act, you know, sing and play an instrument, and we came back. It's really a healing is what I call it. And that's how the Wildeer Theatricum Botanicum was born.
Right.
And then when Pop died, we looked at each other, knowing we didn't have the kind of, you know, none of us were on a series. And we began to learn how to be a nonprofit organization and how to apply for funds, how to put on benefits, how to make this place work. And, of course, my biggest goal was to pay the actors. I wanted to have union actors. It was so important.
Right.
Because especially in a town where there's so much, everybody works for free because, you know, their biggest wish is to be in films.
Sure.
But acting on the stage is a whole different process, and it's a life. You have to have a great passion for it.
That's right.
So now we have a wonderful academy of the classics. We have incredible teachers, incredible education director. It's wonderful, and my time now is to help pass it on so that the legacy continue.
And what do you recommend to those who are trying to keep that alive in themselves, that burning desire to be in theater, but yet there's been such discouragement in our society for theater because people, like you said, have a hard time making a living at it, and yet it is a part of who they are. And we discussed, you know, what politics has done and what media has done to people. It's suppressing their artistic natures and gifts, and how do we raise above that?
You find a pulpit and you pound it. You just have to. You have to keep going. You really do. You can't stand back. You have to be involved, whether it's with music, whether it's painting. You have to involve yourself and pass it on to the next generation. That's how you keep it alive. I was taught by some of the greats. That was Sir Tyrone Guthrie, Douglas Campbell, Bill Ball. These are some Ellis Rabb. I was very fortunate, and I hope that I can help pass on how you work together, because if you work together well in a community in theater, then you can work in life.
Yes.
You just do. It's the give and take. There are no small parts. There are no, no one person should be higher than the other. You work together and you create wonderful things.
So it's basically about creating unity.
Yes.
And a commitment to living with the spirit that you have in you and connecting with others that are like-minded and have that same love.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you'll also find our education programs have grown so, I mean, we have camps. We go all over the LA Unified School District area because that's just as important. We train our actors to teach how to pass on some of these great crafts that you need to know when you're doing classical theater. Yes, you can do modern theater. That's something where there are classes all over the place, but there are not that many places who can teach you the techniques that you need in order to rise and flow with the classical literature. And I tell you, if you get it, it's like skiing. And everything else is easy.
Believe it. Well, it's almost like you tap into this energy that just you start to feel you're flowing with it, and the universe is flowing with you.
Yeah, that's
supporting
right.
You.
That's right. That's right. No, I'm so glad you came up here and saw us, and we have a wonderful company now. I call it an on the edge season, because I'm doing the Romeo and Juliet in East Jerusalem.
Ooh.
Because it is about two separate people and communities who are warring.
Yeah.
And then I'm also doing Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Oh, lovely.
Which went through a period as a novel of being rejected.
Mm-hmm.
I've always read that novel and think of Uncle Tom as a man of peace, you know, but I think he was used.
Yeah.
And so I've got it now that Harriet Beecher Stowe, the writer, when she was an elder woman, she started to write it again. She was losing her wits a bit.
Okay.
And so it obviously, this desire to bring out.
Well, why don't we discuss a little bit about what's happening this summer? Today we're sitting in the theater in this beautiful environment of Topanga, rustic, beautiful trees surrounding us, birds everywhere, and it is gorgeous. And this theater is so comfortable to sit in. It has the perfect setting. The stage can be seen from every seat here really easily, and it's intimate. And so what I love is that you can come and sit here in the summertime and see a wonderful Shakespeare play or whatever's going on. So what's happening this summer? This is the first day, in a way, kicking off summer.
Yes, well, we open first weekend in June, and we're going to be opening with Romeo and Juliet, set in East Jerusalem, and our very famous Midsummer Night's Dream. It's a wonderful suite. I mean, the fairies that come out of the forest. It's a beautiful place. We don't have to worry about a set. This is the set.
That's
for
right.
Midsummer Night's
You're
Dream.
Right. It's magical.
It's magical.
It is.
And then we bring in Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is a newly adapted piece. And then we have something called the Imaginary Invalid by Molière, a very funny piece, and it's got a kind of a sting towards the medical world. That's why it's a season on the edge. Then the last play of the season we're doing is Titus Andronicus. It's a play that is rarely done because it's quite violent. But in the world we live in today, I think it's going to be revealed. I'm going to do it in the near future. And that if we aren't careful, this could happen to us because, violence creates non-caring and it closes down human emotions. And so I think it's the time to do this play. Probably never, ever do it again, but I think it's important to do. But we also have wonderful Under the Oaks. We have four concerts. We've got Judy Norton, who used to be on the Waltons. We've got Tom Allen. We've got some wonderful performers for four special nights into our little theater. We've got Off the Grid, which is our improvisational group. You can join it or you can watch the company do it. And then, of course, our summer camp.
Right. Mm. Yes, you mentioned the summer camp programs are for the youth all the way up to adults.
Yes,
and
yes.
Let's talk about what is available this summer if anybody is interested in having their kids join up.
We have the summer camp. There are still some spots left, as a matter of fact. So all they have to do is call the office, you know, at 310-455-2322 and ask about our summer camp. We also have an intensive Shakespeare seminar for adults that's coming up. We have youth Saturday classes and even a teen rep. So if there's any teenager out there or a parent who has a teenager, it's wonderful to involve them with Shakespeare language early. It gives them a very powerful sense of self-esteem when they accomplish it.
Right, because it really goes deeply into the human soul in a way. Isn't this, we were talking, this is the oldest form of art and acting, isn't it? It goes, I mean, it is the oldest.
Yes, you can go way back to the 13th century with the mummers. You know, you get a bunch of working people, you know, whether they were, did shoes or did they take care of horses. They'd get together and they'd put on a play for different festivals. And you can see that in A Midsummer Night's Dream. You can see that happen where these guild members, these people who are workers, decide to do a play for the Duke and Duchess of the area. And it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. And I'm so happy you had the time to talk to me about this today, because I want to expose this to our listeners for the summer to come and enjoy at least being here for one of these performances or joining in if this is one of your heart's dreams.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's always room for volunteers. If you have a special gift and you're at that point of your life where you want to keep on doing it or you need to find a community of people, come on out. All right?
Thank you so much.
Next, we'll stop at a unique wine tasting destination located off Canaan Road in Malibu, and you'll hear what you can experience at the Cornell Winery, started by a man whose vision was to bring quality wines from local wine producers as well as create a venue for art, unique gifts, and live music in a country-like setting that not only reflects his experience in the wine industry, but also his values to support community, artists, and local businesses.
Today I'm going to talk about a wonderful, charming hidden treasure located in the center of Malibu Canyon area.